licensee for 40th Anniversary Big 5 T-shirts, sweatshirts, and caps. Available at fine retail stores throughout the Delaware Valley. Distributed by the Frank Sussman Company. By Chevrolet, the cars and trucks 36 million people depend on every day. Genuine Chevrolet. By Mellon PSFS. At Mellon PSFS, know why they do their very best. By your Quality Plus 4 dealers, where you can find 5 out of the 10 best-selling cars and trucks in America. By Mather & Company, one of America's oldest and most reliable insurance firms since 1873. By your Tri-State Toyota dealer. You'll love what they do for you, Toyota. By Ryder Truck Rentals. Call 1-800-GO-RIDER for great deals on local and long-distance truck rentals. By the Philadelphia Daily News, Philadelphia's premier sports paper. By ASICS, if they got the shoe for you. By your local Delaware Valley Nationwide insurance agents. And by Delta Removal, the asbestos removal contractor that is synonymous with excellence. Now, let's go courtside for all the excitement of Big 5 Basketball.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Chrysler Arena here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Sign up tonight's game between the University of Michigan, the number 25 team in the country, and the Penn Quakers. John Graham here with Stan Pavlak at Chrysler Arena, a boisterous crowd on hand, Stan, to watch a matchup of the Penn Quakers that probably is going to tell us a lot about the caliber of this team at this point of the season and where this season might end up going.
There's no question about it, Scott. This game is an opportunity for the Quakers. If they can beat Michigan at Michigan, they'll gain national respect.
Now, when you start talking in terms of national respect, there's no doubt that this Michigan program is what it's all about. Of course, the national title back in 1989, and that was the first season in which Steve Fisher took over. It came at the beginning of the NCAA playoffs. He led them on a tournament run, ended up knocking off Seton Hall in overtime for a national championship. Then not long thereafter, it was the birth of the Fab Five here in Michigan. Well, two of those players remain in their senior season. The others have gone on to the NBA. Ray Jackson and Jimmy King remained with this team. And interestingly enough, once again, we've seen Steve Fisher go out and get himself a high-quality caliber freshman again, and a bunch of them on that bench of his.
Well, he's got 5 great freshmen. He's got the 3 best freshmen in the state of Michigan, the best freshman in the state of Mississippi, and the best player from the state of Texas. So he's got his own little Fab Five, but he doesn't want to identify them with the other Fab Five. He's got a great bunch of freshmen.
You may be wondering how it is that Penn came to play Michigan here tonight. Well, Sean Trice is being introduced out of the floor right now, product of Detroit, Michigan. Brad Duffy wanted to be able to give him a game near home in his senior season, and instead of going with perhaps Detroit Mercy, Brad Duffy asked Michigan and Michigan State, and that's where we are right now at Chrysler Arena here in Ann Arbor as the Quakers get set to take on the Wolverines. Stan and I will be back with a look at the starting lineups right after this. And welcome back to Chrysler Arena here in Ann Arbor. The starting lineup for tonight's game for the Quakers. They will be going with the usual starters here this evening. At the guards, of course, Matt Maloney and Jerome Allen. Both seniors. Matt averaging 13.5, Jerome 20.8 points per game. The center, a guy who's had a very fine offensive start to the year, Eric Moore, the 6'7 senior, averaging 14.5 points a game. As the forward, Scott Kegler, the senior, averaging 10.8, and Sean Trice, again from Detroit, playing back in front of his home crowd, said he'd probably have 29 folks here at Chrysler Arena to watch this game tonight. For the Michigan Wolverines, it'll be, of course, Ray Jackson and Jimmy King also on the floor. And once again, the starting five is something that changes quite a bit. They'll use a lot of different players here tonight. Also on the floor, Maurice Taylor, one of those talented freshmen, along with Gerard Ward, another talented freshman, and Dugan Fike, the junior point guard from Clarkston, Michigan, averaging just under 2 points per game. Bit of a surprise there. Quakers wearing brand new traveling road red uniforms with blue and white trim. Michigan has a home white with the maize and blue trim. Taylor and Trice set to tip it off. We're just about underway. And the tip will be controlled by the Wolverines, moving from our left over to our right. And Jimmy King up top as he breaks the time strike. Quakers come out in a man defense. King on the outside. Give it up for Fike. Now the alley-oop for King, and the tip won't go. Rebound 4-4 off King's hand, and out of bounds, it goes back to the Quakers.
It's a good thing King missed that dunk. That would have brought the crowd into the game, and the Quakers get a break. But they need to get off to a good start and keep Michigan off the boards, and Michigan is starting with man-to-man pressure.
Allen bringing it across the strike, guarded man for man by Jimmy King. Now watch out for Kegler and Maloney. Looking to get it down low to Trice. They will. Back up John. This is Kegler out on the right side. Flip it down low to Moore. Back out to Kegler for the three. And good. Scott Kegler starts things off with a three-pointer. Gives the Quakers a 3-0 lead. Quickly back the other way. Here's Fife, guarded by Maloney. Now King up on your side, guarded closely by Kegler. Up top to Fife again. Passing around the perimeter for the Wolverines. Quakers have dropped back into his own defense. 2-3. In the middle, Taylor, turnaround jumper from 10. No good. Rebound fought for, and it's come down by Trice. He clears the board, give it off for Maloney.
Penn is banking on the poor shooting of Michigan, and they're playing a lot of zone.
Maloney on the drive, and the layup is good. 5-0 Penn here in the opening moment. Back down the other way. Cross-court pass for Jackson. Now, once again, cross-court for Fife. Up top for King. Back to Jackson, and flip it on down low to Ward. Back it in. Turnaround jumper on the way from the baseline. No good. And a rebound down for Allen. Over 3 now for the Wolverines.
Jerome's the leading rebounder for Penn, and he got a strong rebound that time.
Allen into the fourth court. Quakers with an early 5-0 lead. Kegler on the outside. Give it for Moore. Take the three. Go up top for Trice. Here comes Sean. Taking it down the right side. Bounce it down low for Moore in the lane. Shot up and good. 7-0 Quakers.
That was a great pass inside. And Eric did not look intimidated by the 6'9 height. Went strong for the basket.
Jimmy King on a big take to the hoop. Misses. And a rebound down for Kegler. Quakers on a 7-0 run and now trying to build. On the outside, Allen off for Kegler, wide open for three from the top. It's no good. And a rebound down for Gerard Ward.
He had a great look at the basket. I expected him to make that one, but it just went off the front of the rim. And Penn is not awestruck.
Fight into the forecourt, guarded by Maloney. Quakers shift back to a man defense. Taylor up top, give off for King. Almost threw it away. Now Jimmy gets it back under control. Duke and Fife looks at the sidelines and says, we need a timeout. So we're going to take 1-2 with 17:46 remaining in the first half of play. And the Quakers on top by a quick 7-0 score.
You're listening to Big 5 Basketball on The Game, 12:10 a.m. Every person is different, so it's no wonder everybody has different tastes when it comes to pre-owned automobiles. Fortunately, Valley and Bow understands. That's why every one of our pre-owned cars is unique. At Valley and Bow, we know our reputation is on the line, so all of our vehicles have to pass our quality test. But what's even more important, the car has to pass your test. That's why people in the know go to Valley and Bow, Route 45, Woodbury, New Jersey.
There's a new kind of energy around here, and it's coming from an energy company that cares about the things you care about, like helping protect your air and your rivers. In fact, it's one of the few in the country that already meets those tough new clean air standards, like getting your power back more quickly in an emergency with the most advanced storm tracking system so they can respond more quickly when the power goes off. Like making sure you'll get through when you call. With state-of-the-art emergency phone systems. Like keeping the amount you pay for energy down. By converting oil-fired generators to also run on natural gas. It's meant some new thinking and a lot of energy to make sure it all happens. But then, there's a new energy company around here. Pico Energy. Focusing our energy on you.
And we welcome you back to Chrysler Arena. Quick start to the game for the Quakers, leading Michigan by a score of 7-0. Michigan with 19 seconds left to shoot as they get set to inbound from half court.
And Penn's a very experienced team, Scott, and I don't think they've come out afraid of Michigan at all, and that's a good sign. Even though they had slow starts against Fairleigh Dickinson and Lehigh, against the ranked team, they look like a different ball club.
Interestingly enough, the shortest layover between games, just 3 days that they've had so far here in the early going of the season. Now King off the inbound. Looks to get it off to Macy O'Baston, who's just checked into the game. Flip it around the perimeter for King. Just 9 on the shot clock. Up top, this is Jackson. Over for Fife. Left corner three is up and good. Nice looking stroke for Dugan Fife, who is 50. Makes that 20% of his 3-pointers. It's a 7-3 game.
A small difference there, right? Scott? 20.
Just a bit. Sometimes I can't read my own writing, Steph. This is Maloney on the outside. Looking for the alley-oop for Allen. Makes the catch but can't go up with it and has to bring it back out to the outside. Kegler off to Maloney. Pass up a shot. Now passes inside. Forced the pass. Stolen by Bunch. Here comes Dugan on the run. Take it off the left side. Flip it down low. Pushed away by Trice. Up ahead, this is Allen. He's going 1-on-2. Into the lane. Behind the back. Looking for a man. Finds more. Shot up. It's no good, but he drew the foul. Eric Boris going to the free throw line now with an opportunity to shoot a pair. Michigan foul is coming against Ray Jackson. That's going to be his first and the team's first.
Jerome Allen in the open court is as tough as anybody in the nation to defend. That time, Dugan White did a good job of stopping the ball, but Jerome found Eric Moore under the basket, who came oh so close to making a three-point play there, and that would have been a nice momentum changer.
You hate to harp on one thing, but Maloney probably should have taken the open three-pointer when he had it off the catch. This is Moore at the free throw line, studies the first, fires, and hits it. Just 46% from the line so far this year, despite the fact that he's averaging more than 14 points a game.
Both teams are below 70% from the free throw line. Free throw shooting may play an important role in this ballgame.
Second one is also good. They were both perfect for Moore. It's 9-3, Quakers.
Penn fight. Still in his zone.
Fight quickly ahead for King. Now back up to Fight on Job. Batson now holds head of the circle off for Fife. Almost threw it away. Fife with a catch. Kegler right there for pressure. Maloney calls him off. He'll play on the 2-3. On the outside, Jackson for three. It's almost an air ball. Rebounds out. Saved in and back out of bounds by Maceo Batson. So it's going back over to the Quakers now as they get it back with a 6-point lead.
Penn almost lost that rebound, but luckily enough, Maceo threw it out of bounds and the Quakers have the possession.
More inbounds, give it up for Jerome Allen. Quakers have yet to make a substitution here in the first 3.5 minutes of this game. Allen taking it down to the baseline, flips back to Moore, foul line. Now Kegler, left side three is good. Jack Kegler hits another. 6 points for him, and it's going to make that 12-3. Quaker lead by 9. Jackson on the outside, give it up for Spike. Now down to King, right corner. Kegler gets there to cover. Up top, Jackson to the elbow on the right side. Nothing there, off for Fife, but now King on the baseline, left side. Guarded by Trice. 15 on the shot clock. As Fife controls right side. Bounce it down low for Batson. Nothing there. In some trouble, now forces his way inside and traveling the goal against Maceo Batson, a freshman from Dallas. It's going back over to the Quakers, and Sam, they got a chance for a double-digit lead.
Well, Michigan's having trouble against the Penn zone. They're moving the ball on the outside and not hitting open shots. And inside, their players have walked and taken some poor shots.
Quakers have had pretty good shot selection so far. Maloney takes it across the stripe, working on Dugan Fife. Nowhere to go with the basketball. He's going to dribble around the outside. Now give it off for Kegler. Down to Allen, left corner. Jerome there. Back in and out again. Takes a look at a potential shot. Still has the dribble now. Here for Moore. Left of the lane. Back and in. Kick back out for Kegler. Swing for Maloney on the three on the right. It's good. 15-3. The Quakers by 12.
We know how tough the Quakers are when the three-point shots are dropping, and they're dropping now.
This is King on the outside. Skip pass, cross-court for Fife for the three. It's no good. Rebound down for Trice. Early going. Quakers are blowing it out of the building.
Fran Dunphy will give Dugan Fife that 22-footer anytime he wants it.
In the lane. Now a kick back out. Kegler's another three, and it's good. Scott Kegler's got three of them, and the Quakers are up by 15 points, 18-3. An incredible first 5 minutes for Fran Dunphy's Quakers. Jackson out, flip it low for Ward. Underneath, he lays it all.
That was poor defense that time, and something's wrong with Michigan's scouting force to leave Scott Kegler alone like this.
Maloney, crossover dribble, takedown toward the right baseline. Up top for Moore, swing it around for Allen. Jerome will try a three of his own. That's no good. Rebound, 4-4, ripped down by Baskett. Take it out for Fife. Now break the stripe and give it up for Jackson. Drive into the lane. Behind the back he goes. Shot up. No good. And a rebound down for Trice. Fast base action now as Maloney carries it across. This is Matt. Drive kick back out for Kegler left side. Up top for Trice. Off for Allen right. Jerome takes a look. Takes the three. Now the drive. Pull-up jumper from 15 is no good. Trice with a big offensive rebound and shook to the ball by Jackson going back up.
Jordan expected a foul call that time, and he didn't get it.
Back the other way, fight for three. Shot is short. Rebound, 4-4. Allen jumps clear with it. Ball was actually tipped by Sean Trice, and now Jerome's going to slow him down with 13:58 to go till halftime.
The last thing Coach Duffy wants to do is to run up and down against Michigan, and both teams look a little tired. They look a little exhausted, pregame exhaustion right now.
Right now, the four-quarter offense for the Quakers are taking some time off the clock. We watched them run this play in drill today, know where they're going. Trice coming up to the top with 10 on the shot clock. Here comes Maloney off the switch, and he's fouled by Gerard Ward, who got in his way and blocked him down the baseline for Ward. Personal foul number one, team foul number two. That's an opportunity for some substitutions for both teams as Ira Bowman and Tim Krug will check into the game, replacing Eric Moore and also Scotty Kegler. For Michigan, looks like we're going to get, well, darn close to a whole new lineup.
Coach Duncan today wanted to run that wide-open offense to take time off the clock, Scott, and they did a very good job of that time.
Willie Mitchell, Maurice Taylor, both freshmen coming into the game. Also, Bobby Crawford is now checked in. He's a sophomore. Quakers with the basketball and a fresh 35, leading 18-5. 6.5 minutes into the game here at Chrysler Arena. Maloney on the outside. Going to take it off the right side, get a screen from Krug. Now flip it down for Krug right of the lane. Back cross, this is Trice. Out to Bowman and now Allen left side. Here's Jerome, kick it up to the top for Bowman and now off to Maloney. Matt stands there, bounce it down low for Krug. Double team, back out to Matt for the three-pointer. It's good! Oh, 21-5.
Matt's got great confidence on that shot. They can't give him that. What?
I'm sorry, Sam. 5 3-pointers in the game. And now a strip of the basketball. Trice knocked it free, but the official says it went off the Quakers, so back to Michigan with 26 left to shoot.
Yeah, they're 5 for 7 right now. The only ones that have been missed are one by Jerome Allen and one by Scott Kegler.
On the outside, Mitchell looks to inbound and will. Now a bounce pass down low. Cross-court pass. Mitchell going to try the three. Shot is no good. Long rebound for Maloney. He wants to run. He's got the numbers. 3-on-2. Bounce pass for Allen. Back to Maloney. 15-foot jumper is good. It's 23-5 Quakers.
There's a little shock in all of Chrysler Arena right now.
Most notably, a play-by-play man. Hang on to your hats, Philadelphia. This could be a big upset. Basket. Kick it off for Jackson. Down to the baseline. Into trouble. They travel with the basketball. Defense from Ira Bowman forcing a change of step.
Sure, Coach Duffy looked at their 42% shooting from the outside and said, we're going to go zone and collapse in the middle, prevent the big guys from scoring, and what a stroke of genius in terms of strategy, Scott.
Three turnovers for Michigan so far. Quickest with the basketball back as Jenny King gets set to check back in. This is Allen up top of the circle. Jerome going to look down right side. Now direction traffic, take it down right, guarded by Jackson. ISO on him. Take it to the baseline, kick back out. Wide open, Krug for three. Shot is no good. Trice with a big offensive rebound. Back up top for Krug, and now off to Bowman. He'll take it back to the top for the reset with Allen. Jerome places it on his hip. He'll come to the outside on the left, and dribble it back around toward the right. Off for Bowman. Bowman going to drive toward the baseline. In traffic, shot no good, but a foul call against Ward. He's going to get hit for his second personal, 13 foul. And then Ira Bowman to the free throw line with 11:42 left in the first half of the Quakers already up by 18.
The Michigan, they look to double-team a lot. And when they double-team, they're leaving one of the Quakers open. And when that happens, the Quakers have been very good about getting the ball back out to the three-point shooter, and those shots have been dropping. I could also say that right now, Michigan looks like they're feeling a little bit of the effects of a tough loss to Duke, and they're all flat on their heels right now.
Mokhtar Njie is coming into the game for Michigan. He is replacing Maceo Bastin, who's checked back out of the game. Bastin, by the way, was credited with that foul, so it was not a foul on Ward, but Bastin's first. Now this is Ira Bowman at the free throw line, the transfer from Providence. 17 points, his career high against FDU on Saturday. First foul shot is no good.
See, Ira made a strong move to the baseline and went up and got fouled there, Simon. He's got the individual talent to beat some of these Michigan players, and he did a good job of doing that on that particular play.
Trice and Allen back out of the basketball game now, and Scott Kegler is checked back in along with Eric Moore. Next shot is up, but it is good for Bowman. That makes it a 24-5 game, and we've got a shot out on the floor. Quakers by 19, 11:42 to go till halftime, and we're back for Chrysler Arena right after this.
You're listening to Big 5 Basketball on The Game, 12:10 a.m.
When Mellon PSFS asked kids to write an essay on how kids could end violence in their communities, Kelly Hassel of Glen Olden had a terrific idea she called Kids Against Violence. She wrote, Kids Against Violence could form a group after school to help kids with their problems, teach kids how to talk their way out of problems, and also encourage kids to stay away from gangs and stay off the streets. Following this idea, Mellon PSFS was proud to sponsor a Kids Against Violence conference where over 100 kids from 20 schools learned how to do the things that Kelly Hassel and the other essay writers dream kids could do to resist violence. Workshops taught them how to plan positive after-school activities, write their own anti-violence newsletter, start a school town watch, and even how to mentor younger children. Mellon PSFS urges you to support our children as they bring their new skills and ideas back to their schools. Please please join Mellon PSFS in our commitment to making Philadelphia and the Delaware Valley a safer place for all of our children.
Hey, Ben, Quakers fans, if this one doesn't have you juiced up, I don't know what will. Quakers basketball at the Palestra this year, and still plenty of great home games to go, including the next home game, January 17th against Los Alex Flores. The home schedule also includes, of course, Princeton and the rest of the Ivy League schedule, as well as the Temple Owls. All of it coming up at the Palestra. For ticket information for Penn Basketball, call 898-6151. That's 898-6151 for tickets to Penn Basketball at the Palestra.
Penn right now is doing everything that they have to do, particularly in the zone defense. Scott, the most important thing is to keep Michigan off the board. And right now, they've limited to Michigan to one shot almost every time down the court. And that's real important. Look for Michigan right now maybe to put some pressure on the Quakers to get back in this ballgame.
It would seem to be in order at this point with the Quakers leading it by 19 points, 11:40 to go till halftime on the outside. This is Bobby Crawford now running the point. And Jay up top. Off for King, left side. Quakers back in the 2-3 zone. And Jay ahead of the circle. Off for King, left wing. He'll take it into the baseline. Now force a shot. No good. Rebound down and going back up again. Shot is good this time for Maurice Taylor. And it's a 24-7 game.
Now I jinxed him on that one. That was the first offensive rebound, and it was a putback.
Here comes Bowman now taking it to the outside. You can see a little bit of different effort from the Wolverines. A little bit more defensive pressure, as you said, Sam. Kegler on the outside. They're not going to let him shoot any more wide open threes. Off for Bowman. Bowman going to bounce it down low for Moore. Spins into the lane. Shot no good, but a bounce off coming on Taylor. The freshman picking up the personal foul. Maurice Taylor gets foul number one. Team foul number four. And it sends Eric Moore back to the free throw line where he's already 2 out of 2 tonight.
Eric Moore, you have to give him a great deal of credit. He's 6'7". He's up against 2 6'9 players. He's taking his time, making nice head fakes, and getting to the basket. That time he got fouled, and hopefully he can make these two foul shots.
Moore, as we mentioned, 2 out of 2 from the line tonight. 4 points on the game. First one is good. If I told you the Quakers would be leading 25-7 over Michigan and Jerome Allen didn't have a point, what would you say to me?
I think everybody's a little surprised. As we went through a shoot-around and all, Penn didn't look as confident as they thought they should, but I guess making a couple open shots in the beginning of the half, and they have more confidence than anybody.
Second one is also good. 26-7, 19-point game again. AJ out of the circle. All four Mitchell out of the left wing. Now King. Working it around the Penn 2-3 zone, but they're challenging out of that 2-3. This is Crawford, bouncing it low for NJA. Back out to King. King doesn't want to take that shot, so he'll go back up to the top again for Crawford. Now Mitchell, out on the left side. Bank shot up, no good, and a rebound for Maloney. Once again, good defensive rebounding position for the Quakers.
Michigan's matched up against his own 2-3 to 2-3, and that's not helping him at all.
This is Maloney now driving toward the right elbow. Flip pass for Kegler. Now down low for Moore. He'll back his way in. Drop step spin move. Fouled on the way up. Shot no good. But NJA is going to get hit with the foul. And Mokhtar NJA picks up his first. That is the 15th foul of the Wolverines. Eric Moore might as well set up a 10. He's going back to the free throw line.
Michigan is really confused right now. Willie Mitchell is guarding Scott Kegler. And they usually double team the post. When the ball went into Eric Moore, Willie didn't double team. He kind of stayed halfway, and Scott Kegler was open in the corner for the three-pointer again. They keep doing that. Michigan's in trouble.
So now Eric Moore to the free throw line, where he just was moments ago. First one is up and perfect again. Matt Maloney, by the way, is taking a seat on the bench right now. Jerome Allen has come back in. Maloney going to the bench with 10 points to lead the Quakers.
And Eric Moore looks like a different person on the free throw line from what we've seen all year. He's got nice arch and nice confidence, and we'll need him to make them like that continually. This game's not over. Michigan's a very streaky team.
It used to be a football school. Sounds like a football score. 28-7, Quakers by 21 points. Coming up on the halfway mark of the first half. Mitchell on the outside for Crawford, head of the circle, and Jay loses the handle on the pass, but gets it back again. Now off for King, right corner, almost threw it away again. King with a nice save and back up to the top again for Crawford. Cross court for Mitchell. Not a whole lot there, so back to King. Now 9 on the shot clock. Crawford, back to King. He'll take it to the head of the circle, fire a long three. His shot is short, kisses around the rim, won't go, and J.A. Schick will go, and he got the foul. Mark Starr and J.A. get the first Penn foul draw. It's coming on Ira Bowman. It's going to be his first. It gives J.A. a chance for a three-point play.
And Penn got Michigan to take the exact shot they wanted him to take that time. Got a 23 foot three-point shot, which missed badly by Jimmy King, but that rebounding is what could kill Penn in the long run.
Jay came to Michigan last January after the NCAA decided that Wake Forest had received, are you ready for this, an improper advantage from the actions of his interpreter in his recruiting. And Jay missed the free throw, though, and rebound down for the Quakers. They bring it back across, still with a 19-point lead. Allen on the outside, take it out back up toward the top, trying to cut them off. He'll get back to Morey. 18-foot jumpers open, shot is short. Rebound down for Crawford.
Not the shot you want to see Eric Moore take.
Back the other way. Taylor driving layup is no good, and a charging foul is going to be called on Maurice Taylor. Ira Bowman stood his ground and took the charge. Crowd didn't think so, though.
I think that maybe Penn got one that time, and you don't get too many in an away court. But Maurice went strong to the basket.
He's a pretty good-looking freshman, as are most of them. Now Krug back into the ball game. Inbounds for Allen. Back to Krug to break the stripe and off for Morey. Maloney takes a seat on the bench. Long side Sean Trice, who's still there. Now Bowman on the outside. Give it up for Allen. Flip it across for Kegler. Screened off. Takes the three. Lost the handle. And the ball stolen by Crawford. It's 4-on-1 Michigan. Jackson drives. Shot is good. Jerome Allen couldn't do much there with 4-on-1, 28-11. Quakers lead cut to 17.
And that's an example of what Michigan could be like if you turn the ball over and let them run.
Allen on the outside. Crowd getting into it, going for defense. This is Moore on the right. Not far to go with the ball. Now skip pass for Kegler. Makes the three. Has to get rid of it. And will for Bowman. Back to Allen. And Jerome holds inside half court. Crowd is applauding the defense. Get on the shot clock. Jerome calls out his own number. He's going to work on Jackson. Crossover dribble. Double teamed. Almost stolen. Through. Has it stolen. Now King ahead of the pack. Lies in. Sinks it home. 28-13. Now a 15-point game. Look for Matt Maloney to get back in his ball game, because the double team right now is hurting the Quakers. This is Coleman down to the left corner. Give it back to Allen. Jerome. Football for Kegler. Open three right side is no good. Rebound for Moore. The putback is good. Eric Ward coming up huge again on the offensive glass.
He does a wonderful job.
On the outside, this is Jackson. Running jumper, no good. Allen with the rebound. Momentum-wise, you can feel it, Sam. The Quakers just took Michigan's punch, and they're still standing.
I think that missed shot by Jackson really helped the Quakers. The Quakers now have a spread with Jerome with the ball. They're going to prevent the double team for at least a few seconds and let themselves get a break. There's another foul there.
And it appears the foul call is coming against Ray Jackson. That's going to put Michigan up over the limit. Jackson getting hit for his second personal foul. So it's a 1-1 opportunity now for the Quakers at the 7:31 mark. Jerome Allen will go to the line to shoot the shot or shots.
And up 17, being in the 1-1 with only three fouls against you is certainly an advantage for the Quakers. And I look for Fran Duffy to spread the floor as much as he can, take 20 seconds off the clock with each possession so that Michigan can tank it into this game quickly.
Allen so far an 80% free throw shooter on the year. Shot is up, and it's no good. Rebound, ball four over everybody. Baston holds it down. Off for Fink, bringing it across half court. Back to Baston again, ahead of the circle. Quakers back out in a very aggressive man defense. Fink, giving it up for King. King crossover dribble, take to the elbow, spin move. Allen cuts him off. Now King. Get it down low for Taylor. Drive, drop step, baseline, shot up, no good. Rebound, 4-4, King got it, the putback will go. Strong on the boards is Jimmy King. Gets the Wolverines back within 15 as they cross the 7-minute mark.
I think Michigan has now been awakened. Look for Penn to go back in the zone next possession. I believe that man-to-man was a one-possession thing with Fran Duffy.
This is Moore now down right of the lane. Calling for some help as he dribbles back outside the arc. Leave off for Allen. The drive, running shot, up, no good. And a traveling violation against Jerome Allen for the Quakers. Turnover number 4. And we have got it. Time out on the floor. 6:43 to go till halftime. The Quakers still with a 15-point lead. It's 10:30, Michigan 15. And we're back in a moment.
You're listening to Big 5 Basketball on The Game, 12:10 a.m. You're not going to win the New York Marathon, or run 100 miles a week, or pay over $150 for a pair of running shoes. But you don't go to the gym to do a few sets between conversations either. you go to see how hard you can push it. And you still want a shoe that performs without all the bells and whistles. Has ASICS got the shoe for you? Fleet Feet in Jenkintown has the entire line of ASICS shoes. From running to cross-training to basketball and volleyball. They're lightweight, give you great support. And every ASICS shoe features the shock-absorbing gel cushioning system. ASICS has been making top performance shoes for over 20 years. And they're tested by some of the world's greatest athletes. And the entire ASICS line is at a price that won't give you sticker shock. So get into Fleet Feet in Jenkintown to check out the entire line of ASICS shoes that's priced right for you. ASICS, if they got the shoe for you.
1210 is now the game for the Philly sports fan. 24 hours a day, 1210 a.m.
Philadelphia sports fans won't settle for anything less than the best, and that includes the best sports coverage. That's why they read the Philadelphia Daily News, the city's premier sports paper. The Daily News gives you play-by-play descriptions, award-winning sports columnists, and the very latest sports results. Get in-depth previews and riveting reviews of all the major games, including Big Five basketball. When you want the most action-packed, up-to-the-minute sports coverage, pick up the Daily News, your ticket to every major game in town.
Back at Chrysler Arena, Scott Graham along with Dan Fadlock. We've got 6:43 to go till halftime, and believe it or not, I'm going to give you the correct score. It is 10-30, Michigan 15.
Penn stays in the man-to-man, and I'm surprised at that. But I think Fran Duffy wants to change up what the Packers were doing because it looks like they became a little tentative offensively, so he's making a play man-to-man.
All right, they're going to go back to zone. Not yet. This is Taylor in the middle. Throws it through Jackson's hands with the ball recovered by Kegler. Another Michigan turnover, their fifth of the first half. This is Allen working it down left wing. Crossover dribble toward the lane. Now flip for Maloney. Wide open three right side is no good. Rebound down for Bastion. Boy, he can rebound.
Bastion can really get up in the air.
Up for five, but now King near side. Guarded by Allen. Up to the top for Maloney. We got all kinds of extracurricular activity down low. And Sean Trice is going to be nailed for the personal foul. Pushing off against Macy Bastion. It'll be Trice's first, team's second. And Michigan is going to get a fresh 35 and inbound from under their own hoop.
And so far, the supposed stars of this game, Jimmy King and Jerome Allen, are kind of quiet, Scott.
So far, indeed. Jackson off the inbound. Find Bastion. Now double team and throws it across the court to no one, but Fike is there to cover up the loose ball. Now to King. Take it to the top. Flip it down low. Nice pass for Taylor trying to dump off. And another foul call coming against the Quakers. Now it was on a pass, so it will not be shot. But rather, they're going to call shot?
Yeah, I think it was. I think Taylor was going up.
Oh, my. Yeah, I think maybe.
Okay.
No, they're going to call shot. They're going to call shot. The public address announcer a little bit confused, as am I.
Well, the pass went inside strong to Taylor, and Taylor went up, and Eric Moore reached across and tried to block the shot and fouled him for a two-shot foul. When you're in a zone, one of the best rules is don't let the pass go inside you, and that pass went inside the zone, and it caused the problem for the Quakers.
Maurice Taylor, a 56% free throw shooter, hits the first. He'll have one more try. The freshman out of Detroit had 15 points in the game, the 10-point loss for Michigan on Saturday against Duke.
I think the Quakers need a field goal on this possession just to calm themselves down.
Taylor's second one is good. Michigan inching back, a 13-point game now at 30-17.
They're getting ready to double team.
Well, Maloney's got the ball in his hands this time. Brings it across, giving it up for Moore. Now off to Kegler. Left side open three. He'll take it. Shot is too strong. Long rebound down for Bastion. A hit for Fike. Michigan looks to run. Now slows it up. Off for King. Quakers back quickly on defense. Jackson on the outside. Flipping it down low. Nice catch for Bastion. Reverse layup is good. 30-19 now. Michigan coming back.
Bastion made a play that looked like something that a freshman wouldn't do. It was a great inside play.
Allen back out for Moore. Flip it across for Maloney. Now Kegler left side. Another three. This one is good. Scott Kegler just hit his fourth three-pointer of the game. He's got 12. And the Quakers are back up by 14.
It was a great courage by Scott Kegler. He just missed badly and hit that three-pointer. And that'll really help the Quakers.
Maloney set him up for it. This is Jackson up ahead of the circle. Off for King. Left wing. Takes toward the elbow. Flips down inside. Batson baseline jumper in trouble. No good. But a foul call coming on the play. And Sean Trice will tip for his second personal foul. It's going to send Basie Bastin down to the free throw line with an opportunity to shoot a pair with 5:03 left to go here in the first half.
Michigan's taking a much stronger effort to get the ball inside now, and it's causing the Quakers problems. They're much bigger than the Quakers. You have three guys, 6'9", running around in there, and it's tough for Sean Trice and Eric Moore at 6'7", and not great jumpers to defend them.
Bastin, the freshman out of Dallas, just a 42% free throw shooter in the early going, and we see why as he bricks up the first. One more try. Once again, as Sam mentioned, perhaps the best player in Texas, the senior high school player in Texas, now a freshman with Michigan, the best player in Mississippi, and the top three players from Michigan. Great recruiting year for Steve Fisher. Second one is good. Now the officials blow the horn. Gerard Ward is going to check into the ballgame to replace that. It is 33-20. Quakers by 13 with 5:03 to go to the break. And now the Wolverines going to get some full court pressure, Sam.
Yeah, they've been starting to show a little more of it on each possession. They'll look to double team, but the Quakers worked against this pressure.
Now Maloney gets a trouble trap, giving up for Kegler cross court. He gets it off to Allen, right side. Try a long jumper, rattles out, and a rebound down for King.
That's just what Michigan wants for Penn to take a three-pointer when we break the press. It's almost like succeeding in the press.
King driving jump shot over Allen is good. Nice body control from Jimmy King, who's got six. 33-22, back down to an 11-point game.
That's what Jimmy King likes to do best, penetrate a little bit, jump over you, and make that short 12-foot jump shot.
Maloney on the outside, working on Fife, looking for the screen up top. Gets double team, give off for Moore. Cross court and a long pass for Kegler, back to Allen. A drive into the lane, left-handed layup is good. Went right around Maurice Taylor, used the left hand well. First two of the game for Jerome Allen.
Maurice Taylor was surprised that Jerome could get up over him like that, but Jerome went in and made a great left-handed layup.
King down on the baseline, stepped on the end line, no one saw it, now flip back out to Jackson on top. Quakers sit back in the zone. Fight back to King. Right side. Three-pointer is up. No good. Rebound for Moore. Eric covers it up and gives off for Maloney. Now up ahead to Allen. 3:55 to go till the break. Allen back out to Maloney. Here comes Matt dribbling down the right side. Crossover on the dribble. Now take back toward the top. Tries to dribble in between the double team and picks up the foul call. They're going to whistle that one on Gerard Ward. But for Ward, that is going to be personal foul number two. And it's going to send Matt Maloney to the free throw line now. With an opportunity to shoot the one and one is Tim Krug and Ira Bowman check back into the ballgame, replacing Eric Moore and Scott Kegler.
Fran Duffy smartly resting Eric Moore, who's working very hard against their big people. Matt Maloney, who normally is a great foul shooter, is not shooting fouls real well this year, but I expect him to knock down this one and one.
Just 67% of the season, first one up and good. Looks very confident tonight. He's used to playing against the big-time competition, of course, the former Vanderbilt transfer, and the guy who played the NCAA tournament last year against the likes of Nebraska and Florida.
Now, I think Matt thrives on this kind of competition. He loves it.
Next one is up, and that one is also good. 37-22. Quakers back with a 15-point lead, and we've got another timeout on the floor. 3:45 to go till the break. Quakers 37, Michigan 22. We're back in a moment.
You're listening to Big Five Basketball on The Game, 1210 a.m.
Insurance needs differ for everyone when it comes to fine arts and home insurance. The Mather Method has the answers you need, and it's easy to see why. After 120 years, Mather & Company has the same name and the same family at work. The insurance industry undergoes ups and downs, mergers, and constant changes. But Mather has always stood for the dependable and economical coverage people want for their treasured art, valuable possessions, and expensive home. Through the years, Mather has built a record of expert counseling and coverage, a singular in-depth knowledge and contacts with a vast range of insurance companies. There's no doubt about it, your home, jewelry, art, and antiques will benefit from the creative Mather Method and its long stability. Call them today at 925-0118 and take advantage of their experience as insurance brokers since 1873. That's Mather & Company, 925-0118.
When Sam passed away last year, I needed a lot of help sorting things out. You know, the finances, the house. It was a pretty rough time. So that's when I called John, our nationwide insurance agent. He worked out a plan that was right for me. Thanks, him, my family will be taken care of. Just like Sam would have wanted it.
For all your insurance needs, call Stephen Miller in Woodland or Anthony Nab in Springfield.
Bank of Michigan, Scott Graham and Sam Pavlak, 3:45 to go till the break. Quakers by 15, Mr. Pavlak.
Well, we're all a little surprised, but it's the Quakers' great defense and good defensive rebounding and excellent three-point shooting that has them up 15 in this ballgame. And now Penn looks like they're playing a man-to-man, but I expect them to fall back into a 1-3-1 zone defense. And Stranzelski's changing up his defenses just to confuse Michigan a little bit.
You want to know what kind of defense Michigan is playing and how Penn's attacking it? Look at the leading scorers. Maloney with 12, Kinkerler with 12, and Maloney reaches in, knocks a pass away from King. Defiant knocks it out of bounds. It goes back over to the Wolverines with 27 left to shoot.
Michigan is in a stationary 2-3 offense, which matches up with Penn's zone. They don't have much movement through there, and it's easy for Penn to defend them.
Taylor with the basketball, guarding closely by Maloney. Flips to Ward just inside half court. Shot clock down to 15. His spike controls on the outside. Off for Jackson. Down low for Ward. Almost stolen. He got it back. Turnaround jumper. No good. Tip follow is up in the air. Off the Wolverines. But they say it last touched the Quakers. So Michigan gets it back with a fresh 35.
Penn has to battle every shot to get that defensive rebound. Because Michigan is on the glass.
Jackson looks to inbound, getting it to the hands of Ward. Now the ball tipped away by Allen. Quakers with a steal. Here comes Maloney, back the other way. Long bounce pass. Bowman, layup, good.
Run great. When you have the opportunity to run. They did it then.
Great pass by Matt Maloney. 39-22. Fight up top. Get it to the hands of Ward. And a foul call down low coming on Tim Krug for pushing off on Gerard Ward. For Krug, that's going to be personal foul number one, just team foul five. So the Quakers with a couple of fouls to give at the 3:02 mark. And Michigan inbounding once again.
When Ward slides across the foul lane, Tim Krug has to be in front of him. Otherwise, he'll get the ball and Tim will have to foul him.
Inbounding now into the hands of Ward, trapped down there. Nowhere to go with it. Allen reaches for the basketball, knocks it, bring it out of bounds. It'll go back to Michigan. Jerome Allen tried to reach in and just wrestle the ball away from the freshman.
Ron Ward looks almost lethargic when he got double-teamed in the corner. When you inbound the ball underneath the basket, you get double-teamed in the corner. You have to get rid of that ball quickly, and Gerard did not do it.
Jimmy King coming back out of the ball game, and Bobby Crawford checks back in. Jackson inbound. He will find Ward. They look to double-team again, but couldn't get there in time. Now Crawford to the outside. Pursues Pike out of the circle. Off for Crawford, right wing. Up top, Jackson fake the shot. Drive down, left of the lane. Pull-up jumper is good. A rainbow that hung the net for Ray Jackson. 4 points out of the game. Gets his team back within 15.
He's the only one member of the Fab Five that hasn't reached 1,000 points yet, and he should do that in about five games.
Krug up top, threw it away into the hands of Crawford. He'll drive one on three. Now thinks better of it and gives back out to fight for the reset.
A sloppy pass.
Off to Jackson, out of the circle, back to Crawford again. 2:22 left in the half. This is fight, gives back to Jackson, flipping around for Crawford. Left side three is up, and it's no good. Rebound fought for. Krug got a hand on it, and a foul call is coming on the play against Ray Jackson for sticking the arm into Tim Krug's face.
And Krug has to make him pay for that foul by knocking in this one and one. This is such an important 1-on-1, I think, right now, to put Penn up 17 and not give Michigan a possession without Penn scoring.
Interestingly enough here, Stan, that is Ray Jackson's third personal foul.
You've
got to keep an eye on that.
Willie Mitchell, another freshman's coming in the game for Ray after that foul.
So now the two senior Fab Five members are both on the bench here in the last 2:15. Doesn't look like Jimmy King's coming back anytime soon. Tim Krug has really struggled from the free throw line this year. 1 out of 6. 17%. First one is good.
Well, he's just raised his percentage by about 15 or 20.
There's the benefits of a Penn education.
Eric Moore's coming back in the game, and Eric's been a great help for the Quakers.
Second one from Krug is good, and now Moore is coming back in, as he told you, did stand. Trey's going to come back out of the game. Quakers lead by 17, 41-24 with 2:15 to go till the half.
Duffy's trying to keep his back players rested as well.
Three freshmen, a sophomore, and a junior on the floor now for Michigan. This is Crawford on the outside. Give up for Fike, near side. Guarded closely by Maloney. We're going to cross the two-minute mark. Down to 20 on the shot clock now, and a reach-in foul on Ira Bowman. That one wasn't really necessary as Iowa tried to take it away from a Willie Mitchell. Still just the 16th foul on the Quakers, so Michigan will inbound. Second personal on Bowman.
Yeah, there's no reason to commit a foul out behind the three-point line. player dribbling away from the basket. There's no real reason to reach, and he's going out of the game.
I don't think it was a result of that foul. Now it's good to get Scott Kegler back in for the last minute and a half or so.
Kegler with 12 points, all of them four three-pointers. Mitchell inbounds back to fight to the backcourt, and now Dugan brings it up. Fresh 35 for the Wolverines. Off on the outside, this is Crawford left. Drive baseline, kick back to the top for Fight. Dugan back to Crawford again. He'll try a long three-pointer. Shot no good. Rebound, 4-4. Keller's got it. His foot back. He's jammed. Oh. Allen quickly back the other way for the Quakers. They don't want to do this. They don't want to run with this team. Up by 15. Allen's going to try a jumper. Shot is short. Rebound for Crawford.
Brady Duffy is winced on the sideline when Jerome missed that shot.
Crawford outside for Warren. Missed the three. Rebound for Mitchell. His putback is up and good. 1:20 to go till halftime. Maloney's got to slow them down.
Penn has to keep their composure. Go slow.
Kegler outside wants the three. Felt it but didn't get it. Crew's tip-up won't go. And a rebound again down for Michigan. Big run here for the Wolverines down at the end of the half as we come up on 1 minute left. Mitchell travels with a basketball back down the other end. And slows down Michigan's momentum. Kind of a freshman mistake. At the 101 mark, looks a lot like the Quakers are about to give up another hoop, and Michigan getting a lot closer.
And Matt Maloney is kind of chastising the Quakers and saying, let's use our heads. We don't need to take three-pointers. We're up 13.
Kegler was feeling it, called to the basketball and shouting. Now Allen on the outside. We'll run the offense. Maloney comes off the screen up to the top. Give it off for Kegler. Scott dribbles the perimeter back to Maloney. Take the three. Take it inside. Off for Crew. Baseline jumper up. No good. Moore fights for the rebound, but it tipped out of bounds. Off Michigan and back over to the Quakers. 42.1 seconds left of the half.
Now, if I were the Quakers, I would use up the full 35 seconds. And even if Michigan scores a three-pointer, the worst you do is go in 10.
No small accomplishment here at Chrysler Arena. Quakers inbound and probably will take some time off now. Allen over for Moore, 29 on the shot clock, 35 on the game clock. It's about a 6 or 7 second differential.
They're in the spread offense now with Maloney with the ball.
Maloney dribbled on the outside and now he calls out his own number. 15 on the shot clock. He sends Moore down low. He wants to take Fife one-on-one, and he will. Through the legs to the foul line. Off for Kegler. Nothing there for Scott. It's in trouble. Back to Allen, and now a traveling violation as they say Kegler picks up the pivot foot. So 12.4 seconds left till halftime. Michigan gets another crack at him.
As I said, even if Michigan hits a three-pointer here, Penn will go in 10. But Frank Duffy has to be a little concerned about the way the Quakers have played these last 2 or 3 minutes. They haven't used or showed the kind of confidence that they did early.
Jimmy King comes in to replace Gerard Ward as Michigan will inbound now off the Quaker turnover. They're 6 of the half, and this is Fight taking it across half court.
2-3 zone.
Clock's not moving. The clock's not moving. Now it finally goes. They gave him all kinds of extra time. Fight off on the side. Off for Crawford. Corner jumper up. No good. Cruz now with the rebound. Up ahead to Allen. Length of the floor shot is up. No good. And that's going to do it for the first half of play. Jerome, a bizarre ending to the half.
Yeah, Jerome had about...
better way to do things. To do it faster. Do it smarter. Do it more economically. It's what you expect for your money. It's what you deserve for your money. And for at least one important part of your daily life, it's what you'll get for your money. Because there's a new kind of energy around here. An energy company that works hard to keep costs down, that can meet your needs well into the next century without building even one new plant, which means no large increase in the cost of your service. A company whose oil-fired generators will also run on natural gas and can use whichever fuel is most economical. It takes real planning and a lot of energy to keep costs in line. But then, there's a new energy company around here, PICO Energy, focusing our energy on you.
Every Ford car and truck is priced to move during Ford's year-end clearance. Get the best deal of the year on your new number one selling Ford car truck during your Quality Plus Ford dealer's year-end clearance. For a limited time, get big savings on Ford F-Series, the number one truck. Save over $2,400 in special package savings on an F-150 XLT. or save $1,800 on a Ford Ranger XLT with a special 2.3-liter engine discount and cash back from Ford. Hurry, get your best clearance deal today. Every number one selling Ford truck is specially priced, including Explorers and Aerostars. See your Quality Plus Ford dealer for all details. Ford year-end clearance is the best time to buy. You must take delivery from dealer stock. These are limited-time offers. Choose from the best Ford truck selection of the year. The 94 year-end clearance ends soon. See your Quality Plus Ford dealer today.
Pavlak at the Chrysler Arena, where the Penn Quakers surprisingly are beating Michigan 41-28. And it's my great pleasure to introduce a halftime guest with whom Penn fans should be very familiar. Steve Gilkey, the present AD and member of the Penn basketball team from 1968 through 71, winner of 63 games and only 13 losses in his career, all Ivy, 1,000-point scorer, professional player in Israel, AD at George Washington, and now AD at his alma mater.
Don't Steve, you got it.
You got to be really happy about this first half.
Well, it was a great half, and it's a great day to do it because obviously with the national television audience, we want to show what kind of team we are. And, you know, Michigan's a great team, and you know, that's showing its talent. It's going to be a tough second half to hang on.
What kind of opportunity is this for the Quakers, an Ivy League team, playing Michigan, Big Ten, nationally known with a great history that they do? It's a great opportunity, isn't it?
Well, it is, and Stan, as you know as well as anybody else, Penn is, certainly we're in the Ivy League, and that's our conference, and that's where most of our attention is. But Penn has always had the type of program to reach out on a national level, and when we're good enough, as we are this year, these are the kinds of opportunities we want to give the kids to play, and obviously they're rising to the occasion.
Yeah, were you a little surprised at how strongly the Quakers came out? We thought that they might be a little awestruck, and boy, they showed that they were.
Well, I think the team is quietly confident as we spent the time with them over the last 2 days. And you know, we made some shots early, and I think this team is probably going to be as good as our shooting takes us. And you get off to a quick start, you quiet down the crowd a little bit, and I think you know, the poise took over. And we played a very, very good first half in terms of poise and sticking to the game plan.
Now, I've got to ask you some questions about your new position. I know everybody's excited to see you at Penn, and I think that what kind of emotions must there be inside you to come back to a place where you had so much success as an athlete and now lead their athletic program?
I think emotion is a great word. I think that's probably the thing that from the time that I was named until now that has been the most important part of coming back to Penn. My own personal feelings is the warmth and emotion that has been not only shown to me by people in the Philadelphia area, but people throughout the country. And it's a unique opportunity. I wish everybody could know what it feels like to come back to your alma mater and lead an athletic department in this case.
Has the first year here, or almost first year, I should say, presented any particular challenges or interesting things you'd like to tell us about?
I mean, other than the mascot situation we talked about before? It's a very challenging job, Dan. You know, Penn has one of the largest athletic programs in the country, over 1,000 athletes in 32 sports, and you know, great facilities like the Pleasanton Franklin Field. So it's an unbelievable challenge in terms of the management part of it. Like everybody else in higher education, there's financial difficulties, and you know, we've got to try to overcome that. But I think all of those challenges really are outweighed by the fact that Penn is such a wonderful place and it's such a nice place to be, and it's a great place to work.
Well, I can attest to that. What about the differences from being an AD in the Atlantic 10 and the Ivy League? Are there any specific differences from those two conferences?
Actually, there is quite a bit. I would probably say about half the job is similar no matter where you are, and the other half really is contingent on the philosophies of the school and you're at in the conference. Obviously, at a George Washington, you have athletic scholarships. That makes it quite a big difference in terms of recruiting, and actually the expectations of the program are greater when you're committing grants to schools that are in the Atlantic 10. The Ivy League has a tradition, as you know, that does not give athletic grants. Probably more of a student-athlete orientation in terms of the balance between academics and athletics. And both of them are good. There's places for both types of programs in this country, and I feel privileged that I've had a chance to work at both types of
institutions. We'll be right back with more with Steve Bilstein in just a minute.
Automobile Magazine called Camaro's anti-lock braking system the best standard feature money can buy. Motor Trend said Camaro's V28 A-arm front suspension, four-wheel vented disc brakes, and Goodyear Eagle GSVs make it stop like you've hit a wall of clear jello. Motor Trend also says safety has been aggressively pursued. And Danielle Olszewski of Ontario, New York stated, "My new Camaro is definitely more dependable than my last boyfriend." Presenting the 1994 Chevy Camaro, a car with two airbags and two side guard door beams standard. Hey, you only live once. What else would you expect from the country that invented rock and roll? 93 model review.
You're not going to win the New York Marathon, or run 100 miles a week, or pay over $150 for a pair of running shoes. But you don't go to the gym to do a few sets between conversations either. You go to see how hard you can push it. And you still want a shoe that performs without all the bells and whistles. Has ASICS got the shoe for you? Fleet Feet in Jenkintown has the entire line of ASICS shoes. From running to cross training to basketball and volleyball. They're lightweight, give you great support, and every ASICS shoe features the shock-absorbing gel cushioning system. ASICS has been making top performance shoes for over 20 years, and they're tested by some of the world's greatest athletes. And the entire ASICS line is at a price that won't give you sticker shock. So get into Fleet Feet in Jenkintown to check out the entire line of ASICS shoes that's priced right for you. ASICS, have they got the shoe for you?
It's a whole new ballgame. If you love sports, you'll love the game. 1210 on your AM dial.
Dan Pavlak with Steve Pilkey at Chrysler Arena. The Penn Quakers lead 41-28 with some early three-point shooting. Steve, there's two changes in the game from when you and I both played that we talked a little bit about earlier today. Primarily the three-point shot, and something that you were very famous for. You were a great foul shooter, and Dick Carter's team controlled the clock and tried to shoot a lot of fouls. Now we've got the shot clock. Now, how do you look at these two changes as affecting the game?
Well, even though I think we took advantage of the fact that we were a good foul shooting team and didn't turn the ball over, and I think it led to a lot of our victories, I think the shot clock is good for basketball. I support that. You know, the question is, you don't want to get it too close to the pro game because you like to have a different type of level and a different type of game between college and pro. So I think 35 seconds is about right. The three-point shot, Dan, is, you know, would have made us Hall of Famers earlier. It's an easy shot. You know, is it too easy? I think like any other rule change that's radical, you want to give it a bunch of time to check it out and see if it works. I don't think you want to be arbitrary, change things every year or two. So if it opens up the game a little bit and brings back some outside shooting, I guess that's a positive. But it's pretty close. It's pretty easy.
Well, I'll tell you, the backcourt of Dave Wall and Steve Bilski ranks as one of the best, if not the best, in Penn history. I think Matt Maloney and Jerome Allen are giving you a run for your money. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, you're humble because you left out another backcourt that could play also. But I think Jerome and Matt are every bit as good a backcourt as Penn has ever had. I think that the team that I played on had a little bit more strength in the front court, and I think that's why it was a better team. But I think Jerome and Matt are complete players. They play both ends of the court. They're unselfish. They shoot the ball. I enjoy watching them. That's one of the nice things, coming away and getting away from my job for a little bit and being able to watch good basketball.
Well, unfortunately, Steve, I had to play forward, so I can't count myself in that backcourt area. What do you think in the second half, Steve? What do Penn have to do to maintain this lead and show Michigan that they're for real for a whole game, not just a half?
Well, I think that's why we're here and Dumpy's in the locker room. But what you would expect and think is that we have to pretty much play like we did in the first half. If we play a little tentative or a little conservatively, Michigan has too much power. They can close this gap in a couple of minutes. So I think we have to be a little bit patient. I think we have to play with confidence. And I think ultimately, if we shoot the ball and continue to rebound, I think we'll win this game.
One last question. This Penn team is approaching a record that in the Ivy League that your team set of 30 wins. It looks like they have an excellent chance of breaking that record. Do you have any particular affection for that, or would you like to see it go down the drain?
Well, I think I would like to see it go down the drain because it would mean that the team won. But I think more than that, whenever you have a record broken, I think you feel like, you know, who it is that's breaking it. If it's an individual record, you want to feel good about that player. If it's a team record, you want to feel good about the team. These are a bunch of good kids. I really like them a lot, so it would be a pleasure to let them see that record go down the drain.
We're rooting for the second half. I'd like to thank you, Steve Gilfie. You've been a great guest, and we'll be back with Scott Graham in a minute.
The Mellon PSFS Eagles High School Honor Roll was established as part of the Mellon PSFS Focus on Learning and its official sponsorship of the Eagles. The Eagles and Philadelphia Futures join the bank in support of this program, which recognizes 8 outstanding high school seniors each year with a $1,000 college scholarship plus special recognition during Eagles home games. This year, 8 students from Philadelphia were inducted into the Honor Roll. Gifted students like Robert Thomas, who managed to excel in school despite the homeless for 4 months last year, and who told us, "So far, my greatest sense of accomplishment has come from getting enough scholarship money to pay for college." The Honor Roll program seeks Philadelphia students who have overcome great odds and exhibited unusual tenacity and leadership. These students are nominated by their schools and demonstrate scholarship, community service, and need. Mellon PSFS is proud to highlight excellence in our community through the Mellon PSFS Eagles High School Honor Roll.
12:10 a.m.
And we're back here at Chrysler Arena. Scott Graham and Stan Pavlik getting ready for second half action. Taking a look at statistics for the first half of play. The Quakers shot 44% from the floor, 46% from beyond the arc, and 85%, 11 out of 13, from the free throw line. Sharp contrast to what Michigan did shooting the basketball, just 12 out of 32 from the floor for 38%, 1 out of 11 from three-point range, and 3 out of 5 from the free throw line as the Quakers have taken a 13-point lead here at the break, 41-28. As far as points are concerned, the leaders for both squads, 3 Quakers already in double figures. Scott Kingler and Matt Maloney with 12 points apiece. Eric Moore has 10. Jarrell Mallett fell to just 2 points in the first half in 18 minutes worth of work. As far as points are concerned for Michigan, Jimmy King with 6, and also Maurice Taylor has 6. That leads the way for the Wolverines. But Dan, you take a look at it, a couple of things spring to mind. One is the Quakers had a bigger lead and sort of allowed it to get whittled away a bit before the break, down to 13 points.
Yeah, they looked like they became a little tentative towards the end of the second half. And I know that Fran Duffy at halftime said, remember what Dick Vitale said to you during the shoot-around, that don't take a backseat to anybody. And I hope the Quakers come out with the same kind of confidence. It would be nice to see them hit a couple outside shots early, because then they'll know that they can play with Michigan the whole 20 minutes. I think that's really important for Penn to have the confidence that they're every bit as good as this team.
Now, one side of the Quakers led 28-7 by 21 points in this game. The other thing to remember here, Stan, when you take a look at it, is Michigan has not lost to an Ivy League team since they lost to the Princeton Tigers back in 1972, 22 years ago.
Maybe Michigan looked at that before the game and said, well, we just played Duke. We haven't lost an Ivy League team in 22 years, and this team will present no challenge. If they were overconfident, they made a big mistake, because the Quakers usually come to play, and they usually come to play better in big games.
So this seems like a bit of a surprise to you, Quaker fans. Realize that the last time the Michigan Wolverines went down to the Penn Quakers was all the way back on December the 6th, 1961, 33 years ago. Jerome Allen set to inbound out of against second half play. Quakers will be attacking at the basket on our right.